would you feel during this time where you lost everything? You would be desperate. It's a tragic. You'd be a tearful. You'd be crying. You'd be so sad. You'd be all alone. Who would you go to? You'd be afraid that people just might take your life. But the next day, you get all the blessings back. You're saved again. There's a local church to go to. Your refrigerators are full and your pantries are full with food and drink again. You've got your medicine now. There's hospitals and there's doctors. You can make an appointment. Your house, your electricity. You've got a bed to sleep in and a bathroom to have showers in. You have your wardrobe and your closets full of shoes and clothes again. You've got your car and your truck and your boat. Would you be thankful? And if you were, how would you show it? Of course you would be. Of course you would be. You would say, thank you, Jesus. You wouldn't be able to say it enough times. You'd say, I didn't realize how many blessings I had. I couldn't realize everything that I had until I lost it. Should we have to lose all our blessings to be a thankful person? And of course the answer is no. We understand that. Being thankful to God for the blessings for a Christian, it's to be a way of life. It's part of your life. You get up in the morning, brush your teeth. You know, you go to bed at night, you turn the lights off. Hey, that's just a part of your life. That's just how you do things. Get in your car, go to work. Being thankful for the Christian, that's just a part of your life. It's not just an occasional thing when you get some blessings. It's not just an occasional thing that you do when you've been sick and you got better. And it's not some occasional thing that you do on just on a special occasion like a Thanksgiving day. The spirit of Thanksgiving, it's an attitude that you have every day that you're full of thankfulness for all that God has done for you. And really, all you can say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that I have. It's a way of life. Now back to our reading in Psalms 100, the Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's the only one called that. Not that the other Psalms don't have Thanksgiving in them. They're mentioned many times. Look what it says. Here are some things, practical things it just says. But this is, remember, 600 years before Christ. Make a joyful shout. This is talking about sing to the Lord. And do it with gladness in verse 2. Sing to Him. And that's when we have a chance. Singing isn't just a routine. You sing. It's a chance to sing. Whenever people were happy in the Bible days, they sang. And when people are happy today, they sing. At inauguration for the president or for the queen, they always have singing. It's a happy time. It's a happy time. A joyful noise. Serve the Lord. Now verse 3 it says, no, God made us. We are made in the womb by the Lord. We're His people. We're His sheep and He's the shepherd. And then verse 4, enter into His gates. That means into His presence. Not just worship. No, we do. We enter the gates, we would say, in the assembly. But anytime you work in, you go into His presence always with thanksgiving. And you always praise Him and be thankful and bless His name. And that's a daily thing. It's not just one year, a day, a year, or occasions. It's part of our life. Why? The Lord is good. That's why we sang the song. God is so good. And His mercy lasts forever. And then that's what you pray when somebody passes away. The first thing you pray is, Lord, please be merciful and graceful to the one who passed away. We're saved by grace, so you got to, Lord, please, give all your grace and mercy upon him. Isn't it? Well, what about if he didn't have that? Aren't you thankful that we can go to a loving God and say, Lord, please, even for ourselves when we sin, please, I need your grace and mercy. And that's what we pray for other people. And His truth, His word endures for all generations. It's here forever and ever. Amen, as we say. Our thanksgiving begins when you're saved. When you're raised from the waters of baptism, what did you do? Now, you obeyed. You got to obey. You've got to believe. You've got to repent and confess. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you're still not saved. Now you go down in the water, and when you're raised, Romans 6 says, now your new life begins. Aren't you thankful? I've seen the biggest boys you've ever seen cry like a baby when they're raised from the waters of baptism. Why is it? Because they're thankful. I see mummies and daddies break down in tears when they see their daughters or their sons or their grandchildren. Why? That's what Thanksgiving does. That's what thankfulness does for you. It just breaks you down. You're so happy. All you can do is cry. And so when does it begin? When you're raised from the waters, you're thankful. And it never ends. It's a way of life. Now you walk in the light as He is in the light. It says you confess your sins. Aren't you glad that you can confess your wrongs? Because we all fall short every day. And the Lord, with His mercy and grace, it saves us. What we're saying is, thank you, Jesus. Every day we say it. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. It's a part of our life. Philippians 4 and in verse 4. Look what it says. Rejoice in the Lord. That's be thankful always. And again I say, rejoice, be thankful. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. You request to God and be thankful. Lord, thank you for letting me pray to you. And thank you for listening. And then tell him what you need. And thank you for loving me. And whatever you answer, thank you for being with me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding. Why are you peaceful? Because you're just so thankful that you have a God who knows you and loves you and is going to take care of you. You can't ask for anything better than that. When you ask the little children, who are you thankful for? Brighton had the preschool. She had to fill something else she was thankful for. And you know, and she's thankful for this and this. And for moms and daddies and sisters and brothers. Well, why is that? Because they do good things. She likes them. They play with her. And they give her a ride and they take her someplace or something like that. Like all little children would say, I just love mommies and daddies and brothers and sisters. And that's why. Aren't you thankful? Look what we have. We have our bodies. We have air. Sun and moon and food. And of course our spiritual blessings. That's what it says. We've got a peace. And I'm so thankful for that peace. Being thankful, you see, is a way of life for the daily Christian. For what the Lord has done and what He continues to do for us. Well, what should we say thank you, Jesus, for? Of course, our material blessings. We live in a world that has so many blessings. I'm glad this generation doesn't have to go through a depression like some of our parents did, or grandparents did, or world wars, or great famine. When my mother passed away, I remember going through, we went through, you know, you go through your parents' things they left behind, and in the drawer and in some papers my mother had were her I forget what they were called, food coupons. She lived in England, but it was no different in the United States either. You got so many coupons a month for pounds of sugar. You remember that? Not that Jane was in the first line, but what were they? War coupons or something. Food vouchers. And you got so many pounds of sugar and so much flour. And that's all you got. You didn't get any more. You couldn't buy them even with cash. You had to give these coupons. And I thought, you know, your mother got 1 pound of sugar. She got 2 pounds of your grandmother of flour. And maybe they got a fish, or they got a pound of meat or something like that. Just think about that. We go in and we can just ask for pounds and pounds and pounds of food. I'm glad that the people don't have to, but I want them to understand what it was like. It's not always been like this, where you open up your refrigerator and there's so much. For a child to look and for a child to go in the living kitchen, look in the pantry, open the refrigerator, and leave and say, there's nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. That's shame on them. And shame on the parents if you didn't teach them. Now, they might be spoiled or something. They ought to have been taught, hey, shame, what do you mean? Look in the refrigerator. Yeah, but it's pepperoni pizza and I like sausage pizza. Or it's Coca-Cola and I like Sprite or something. I don't know. Parents are the same sometimes too. There's nothing in there and the wife's cooked all day. Is this all we're having? Two vegetables? You know, I always like to have four vegetables. I mean, we got to be thankful. And it's hard to be able to teach that. We need to try our best to do that. Let me show you something that David Tett, close friend of mine, he's spoken for us before. He always goes to Jamaica and the islands. David's in his 80s now. This is a young lady. Her name's Sandra Green. She has five children. And the 14-year-old girl, the youngest girl, let me see. This girl right here. She, her mother died, and they didn't know who the father had gone away. So Sandra took her in. Soon the children went to Vacation Bible School. I taught with David at Vacation Bible School. There you pick them up in the van, and you're just taking the VBS in Montego Bay. And David and Flora, his wife, asked, "Can I come visit you? Can we come and visit you in your house?" And she said, "You sure can." This was their house. This was their house. One room house. Had no lights, no water. Water is brought up from down in the lower area. They brought it up the hill. The only furniture in the house was two beds. She cooked a little shelter outside. Out here, this is where they lived. And this is where she cooked over here. And David says as they walked up, the house was made of scrap lumber that they could pick up, you know, on the streets and so forth. When they opened the door and they went in, David and Flora cried. They didn't cry so much because even though it was so sad, that's what they lived in. I want you to see what this lady wrote. That was the first sign. You know how we go in our house? At our house, I think it says, "As for me and the Lord," from Joshua 24:15, "we're going to serve the Lord." Other people have religious sayings. She couldn't afford one, so she made one. "Thank you, Lord. My needs are met, and healing is mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." They said they just cried. Can you imagine? She was so thankful for what she had. And you know what'd she have? We'd say she had nothing. Her children had nothing. She worked hard. Eventually, she was baptized, and the kids, and last report, you know, they're trying to serve the Lord. When they came back another year to visit, they went there to visit, and one of the DeGert kids was very, very sick. And they said, David said, "Have you taken her to the doctor?" She says, "No, I don't have any money to go to the doctor." So David gave her some money and took her to the doctor. And David said, almost anybody else would have asked for money. But she didn't want to ask anybody because she knew other people needed their money. They need their money. Thank you, Jesus. For what? Look at the food and drink we have. Our eyes and our ears and our mouth and the ability to speak and so forth. All the medicine and health facilities. In Jamaica, the first thing that they tell you when you go there is if you're a missionary or something, you've got to make arrangements to get a flight from there to Miami because the hospital's there and it's not their fault. It's the best they can do. They'd be like a one-star hotel in America. You know, you're not going to make it long. But look what we have. We got a brand new hospital. Our shelter, our homes. One room. We've got a room that's just full of junk. We've got rooms, you know, people have their own bedrooms. That's okay. That's okay. But we got to be thankful. Psalms 107, verse 1. Psalms 107 and in verse 1. Here's what it says. Psalms 107 and in verse 1. Goes with our song. Psalms 107 and in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." All you can say is what? Thank you, Jesus. We got to remind ourselves and everybody else. And then, of course, there's spiritual blessings. Ephesians says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And in Ephesians 3:8, These blessings are described with an interesting word. Ephesians 3 and in verse 8. Here's what Paul calls these blessings that we have spiritually. 3:8. He says, "To me who am less than the least of all saints," Paul says, "this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You can't find them anywhere. You can search anywhere you want and you can't find the riches. Well, what are those riches? The forgiveness of sins, a peace that passes all understanding, mercy and grace. You can't find them. You cannot search for them anywhere. They're not anywhere that we can go to find. They're unsearchable. But if you're in Christ, you can find them. You can find them and they'll be given to you. So how do we say thank you for these spiritual blessings? I'll tell you the first thing, just say thank you to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's probably one of the phrases, the least phrases I've ever heard in my 40 years of preaching in the church. I've heard guide, guard, and direct. I've heard a ready recollection for the preacher. I've heard a lot of other things. But how many times has anyone ever said, hardly says, thank you, Jesus? Denominations say it all the time. Thank you, Jesus. That's a simple thing. Start with the young kids. Let's say thank you, Jesus. You know, Hebrews 13:15 says this. Hebrews 13:15. Here's what it says. "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." Now, what is this praise? That's the fruit of our lips. It comes from our lips and gives thanks to His name. That's literally saying, continually say, thank you, Jesus. So that's the first thing. And then you pray. You just pray to the Lord. As our reading said, and Ricky's reading a few moments ago, in the reading it said, thank you, Jesus, Paul tells Timothy. Tell him to say thank you. We say thank you for the Bible. The Bible. God's Word. God spoke to us. The apostles preached it. Then it was written down in form for us. We have a Bible that's complete, thoroughly furnishes us unto every good work. We're going to be judged by it. We need to be thankful. We need to take it with us and share it with other people. We need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters. That's a spiritual blessing, that you have brothers and sisters that believe the same as you do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 3, here's what he says. Paul says to Timothy, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. And without ceasing," he says, "I remember you in my prayers night and day. I greatly desire to see you. I'm mindful of your tears that I might be filled with joy. I call it in remembrance, a genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded it's in you also." He says, "Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing you, Timothy. And and I remember the times we had together. And we pray, thank you for heaven. And I want to go there. Thank you that you're making a place for me." Revelation says that those who die faithful receive a crown. And it's forever and ever. Amen. We can never lose track of all the things we have. We may never have to lose all the blessings at the beginning of the lesson, as we said. And we shouldn't have to. We might lose some of them, but we still have so many. It needs to be part of our daily life. The Bible's full of admonitions from all of us to be thankful. Here's three of them to end our lesson. Psalms 106:1 says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever." He loves us no matter what we do. He's going to punish us if we don't change, but He still loves us to the last breath. He's so good. Give thanks to Him. Say, thank you, Jesus. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." That's a characteristic. If you're not thankful, you won't be in heaven. And that's why the church is in one body. We're all in one body. Let's be thankful. "And in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you." It's a command. That's the will. The Lord says, be thankful. And so we are. We are. Let me finish by reading you the proclamation that was given by President Abraham Lincoln with regards to the day set aside in America for the holiday Thanksgiving Day. This was a proclamation. This is why we have it when we do. This is what President Lincoln said. The year that is drawing to a close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields, heartful skies. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gifts of the Most High God. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to a beneficial Father who dwells in heaven. And that's what we should do on Thanksgiving Day. Praise and give thanks for all the blessings we have. But for the Christian, it's something we continue to do. It's part of our life every day. And we always remember, every day, we say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. If you're not a Christian, you've never said thank you. You've never said thank you. But if you're baptized for the remission of your sins and you're raised to start your new life, you said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That's what you need to do. You need to be baptized as a believer to have your sins washed away. That's the beginning of saying thank you for loving me. If you're a child of God and you haven't been faithful, then you stop saying thank you. You need to tell the Lord you're sorry. He loves you to the end. Tell Him you're sorry. Thank you for loving me, but I'm sorry I haven't loved you. And start loving Him like you should. Each and every day. Yes, we got so much to be thankful for this time of the year, but let's make it part of our life each and every day. And if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do it right now while we stand and sing.